Good morning, Greg.
G'day, KB. What a beautiful day it's going to be again today.
And, great night.
I think you're right about your take. I think that there's been plenty of surprises already this year, but it's not going to be one of them tonight. If you look at the record of the two clubs recently, the last time Carlton beat Collingwood, they were coached by Brett Ratten. So the Pies have won the last four, and I think it'll be five straight tonight. I think Collingwood's surprised a lot of people that were critical of them in the pre-season, and I think that they're coming to the party, and as you said, last week's Anzac Day victory would really sort of set a bit of resolve at the club.
How many fans do you think will go along to tonight's game?
I would hope to celebrate the occasion for Mick and also the big match and the rivalry. It's, you know, a lot of ingredients in it tonight. I would think there'd be pretty much 80,000 there.
It's Carlton's home game.
Well, I hope they turn up, as I will talk about it later, but they need to come out and support their club after not seeing their first victory last week, which was miles away in New Zealand. So, I just think it should be a good contest. I'm predicting that Travis Cloke will kick a bundle tonight, and I thought the Pies will win, and I thought they'd win, should win pretty comfortably.
I'd like to hear from Carlton fans. Tell us why you think you can actually win tonight. You may think you can't win. Give us reasons why you can or you can't. I'd like to hear from Collingwood fans as well. And also, I'd like to hear from Collingwood fans about their affection for Mick Malthouse, because not easy winning premierships for the Collingwood Football Club. I know we joke about it on occasions, Greg, but, you know, Collingwood is a famous club. Arguably, some would say, the most famous sporting club in the country. But in 57 years, they've won two premierships, and Mick has won one of those premierships for Collingwood. So I'd like to hear from Collingwood fans because, you know, Mick brought them the ultimate success that many of them had been craving for most of their life.
Well, so did Lee Matthews, but
but that's back in 1990, and then of course, you know, we're somewhat
20
years on.
Do you think Mick was Eddie was fair dinkum yesterday when he spoke to Jack Nile and said that he sincerely hopes when Mick's time is finished at Carlton that he'll come back to Collingwood and enjoy the legacy of that particular work? Do you think he was fair dinkum?
I do. I don't think that Eddie would say that and not believe that, you know. I mean, he understands the major role that Mick played in Collingwood winning that premiership.
Well, he had 12 years there.
12 years there. And they had a great association.
Longest period that he has coached at the one club.
They played in, what, four grand finals. So they won that grand final. Mick's an integral part now of the Collingwood Football Club. Winning that premiership, as I say, only two coaches have won premierships at Collingwood in the last 57 years. So it's pretty special. And I'd like to, you know, hear from Collingwood fans, if they're going along tonight, just to thank their coach what he did at Collingwood.
There's no chance Mick will be jeered or booed tonight, is there?
No. Oh, God, no.
It is Collingwood, Kevin.
No way. No, I think, I think Collingwood, their supporters are fantastic supporters, Collingwood. I think they've had so many highs and lows. They know about the good of football. They would appreciate, you know, what Mick has done for Collingwood. And I think they're very forgiving supporters. Collingwood supporters. I do.
Okay.
I think they're very forgiving. I think if you're barrack for Collingwood, I think you do love football if you're barrack for Collingwood. And I think they enjoy the game. But I'm certain the Collingwood fans would want to say to Mick, well done, congratulations. I think after the game, there's going to be a guard of honour by both sides after the game. I think before the game, Mick and his family are coming onto the ground. Now, what else Carlton's got in mind, I don't know, because it's fan-friendly, of course, this year, so I imagine there'd be a lot of highlights up on the big screen and messages about Mick's career as well.
No, that's good. I think that even though he's pretty much new at Carlton, it's the club that he's been spent the least amount at, they should do that for him tonight in honour of all the teams and clubs that he's coached.
I want to take a couple of early calls. Tony joins us in Hampton. G'day, Tony. Tony's just in the background there. Let's go to Michael from Camwell. G'day, Michael.
G'day, guys.
G'day, Mick.
I give Carlton a chance because I actually don't think Collingwood are that much chop. I saw us nearly beat Essendon the other week, and they were set up for a fall, and Collingwood got them at the prime time. I think their victories before that weren't that spectacular, and I don't think their kicking skills are that flash, which means that they always give the opposition a chance. So if we can just hang her in there long enough, I think there's better skills in Carlton. Whether they can put it all together is a different story, but we'll be in there for a long way tonight.
Okay, a lot of confidence there, and well put together, Michael, thinking that maybe the kicking skills at Collingwood are not that great, and the Blues were pretty good against the Bombers as well. Of course, coming off a win last week, so there'll be a belief now with the Carlton side. Disappointing to see Kaz Bolt out of the side, Greg?
Well, I don't know how long it's going to take them to teach him to kick straight, but obviously it's not quite there yet. The big in, of course, is Chris Judd. He hasn't got that many games to play, so this will be. He won't be playing finals, of course. So, I mean, Judd's got to make the most of every blockbuster, as we call them these days, and this will be one of them. So he'll be primed.
I'd like to hear from Collingwood fans too, because on the football show last night, Damien Barrett was talking about Collingwood are chasing Adam Treloar from the Giants, and he says on the table, Neil Barm will join us a little bit later on in the program, so we'll put it to Barmy. That, and he said, Collingwood will deny this, but they've offered Adam Treloar 5 years at $750,000 a year for Adam Treloar
right.
to come
so
to Collingwood next year.
They're going for Treloar, they're going for Aish, well, they're going to have a crack at Dangerfield, which won't be happening. Just every time a player is out of contract or there's a free agent, Collingwood's...
This is a definitive statement by Damien Barrett on the football show that
five years
is on the table at $750,000 per year.
Now, not knocking
Collingwood
Damien
fans,
Barrett.
Would you be happy to get Adam Treloar 5 years, 750K per year? I think Treloar is an absolute gun. And I said 12 months ago, he's the sort of kid that one day could even win the Brownlow medal. He's a fantastic young midfielder. We've got a lot of good young midfielders, of course, at the Giants.
Look, I think Coniglio will be...
I think he's a Danny Nong boy, so you know, it could be lured back.
I think there's a few at GWS that will be, at the end of the year, will probably be moving down south.
Johnny's in Pasco Vale. G'day, Johnny.
Ben.
G'day.
Thanks for taking my call. Look, Kevin, all Carlton supporters want is that team to show some heart and go in for the ball and give Mick a great win. That's all Carlton supporters want. Show some heart in the game. Even if they haven't got the capability or the skills, if they show some ticker and go in for the ball and support Judd, Cripps, and a couple of those young guys are coming through, they just show some heart, it'll just encourage the Carlton supporters to come every week.
So be competitive. Just show a bit of heart, the players. Well, they showed a bit of heart last week. They were behind in the first half against St Kilda, and looked like a bit of doom and gloom there for a while against the Saints, but then
but
all of a sudden,
St Kilda's,
you know,
not
Carlton
ready.
Played better and Saints dropped off.
Without Revolt, without Montagna, etc., St Kilda's not ready, without Seb Ross, without a couple of the other ones. St Kilda's not yet ready to run out 120 minutes, Kev. They'll show a lot for 50 or 60 minutes, but they just haven't got it quite yet.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm hoping for on the weekend, Greg, as we go to the break, and then we'll come back and we'll take more of your calls. You can set the sporting agenda, what's on your mind in sport, leading into what is a huge weekend of sport. I'm looking forward to Stevie J being the sub against Richmond tomorrow.
He won't be the sub again.
Well, I hope he is the sub tomorrow, Greg, and he should be the sub. He did it very, very well last week, and Geelong should make certain that Stevie J starts with the green vest on again. He's got to start with that vest on. Don't you think? Why is there no love for Stevie J down at Geelong?
Well,
I'd love to hear from Geelong supporters on that.
I think there is love for Stevie J
down
there.
No, there's no love for Stevie J.
But what happens? He loses demerit points all the time that he does those silly things on the field and gets suspended. Yes. I mean, a couple of years ago, it cost him a finals match. I mean, he loses white line fever over the line. He just loses it every now and then, and you've got to shake your head. I mean, it's great to be a superstar, and he has been, but... too many silly incidents on the field.
Well, I don't think there's much love for Stevie J down there. I think he's been a
fabulous
player.
You're surmising that. You're surmising that, and you're trying to stir the cats because...
Game number four into the season, Stevie J, they've got a lot of injuries down at Geelong and lost some of their great stars and champions, and all of a sudden Stevie J is given the subs vest. Now, 2014, Greg, not in their top 10 in their best and fairest, polled very highly in the Brownlow medal. Not in their top 10. 2013, not in their top 10 in 2013, Greg. There's no love for Stevie J down at Geelong. I think they should start him on the bench. It's 23 minutes past 9. We're taking your calls, 9429 1116. If you want to send through an SMS, 0433 98 1116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29 and Hungry for Sport. Dylan joins us in Whittlesea. G'day, Dylan.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good.
Well, I honestly think, doing it for Uncle Mickey tonight, we could do 10 goals easy.
You could win by 10?
At least.
At least?
At least.
So, well, you saw something last week.
Who's going to kick him? Not Liam
Jones. You
saw
something last week, Dylan, in the way the Blues finished off against St Kilda that gives you that confidence tonight?
Oh, really? Yeah, I just think that the confidence is there in the boys. We can just get up and get over the line for Uncle Mick.
Okay, Carrazzo's out with a leg injury and Casbolt is out. Obviously, his kicking is a concern for Carlton. But Judd is back, and also Mark Wiley, just 22 years of age from the Giants, Greg. Another one of those young kids from the Giants gets an opportunity as well.
Yeah, no, I'm obviously Carrazzo will hurt, but I think the in of Judd is fantastic. Jax is going to have to do a lot better than when we first saw him earlier in the year. And the other person there that they got in, Liam Jones, the sort of high-profile recruit, he's got to kick a few goals if they're going to win, and I don't know if he can.
Sue says off the message bank, oh, please, Pies chasing everyone. Then another story will be we lost them, says Sue. Be interested to know if Carlton are showing highlights of Mick's coaching career tonight, whether they're going to show him on the podium in 2010. Vinny from Mernda says, Greg, Collingwood have beaten Brisbane, St Kilda, got flogged by Adelaide and beat Essendon, who were ripe for the picking. So overrated. I like this one. Treloar is a jet. A big yes for Collingwood to go after Adam Treloar. Andrew's in Knoxville. G'day, Andrew.
Yeah, it's actually Hulk Hogan here, brother. I'm here. Take off, Adam.
Is that Frankie Costa ringing in disguise?
I don't know. Was it Hulk Hogan? Was it? He said brother at one stage. Isn't that the Hulksters in town? That might have been Hulk Hogan. You know, brother, he says brother, you know, all the time. I met the Hulk last time he was out here.
I know you haven't stopped talking about
him. Very, very pleasant. He was very, very nice and very, very pleasant.
I imagine you've got to be pleasant to the man.
But he was very, very softly spoken.
Is he as big as what we...
He's big.
He's big, yeah.
His arms are bigger than my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brad's on the road. G'day, Brad.
G'day, Kev.
Why is there no love for Stevie J down at Geelong?
Well, two things. Stevie J, if we didn't love the guy at Geelong, we would have traded him to GWS last year after they offered us a ridiculous deal.
I think they ran out of time, otherwise
I think you would have traded him, I'm telling you, if there was more time. What a dumb deal that would have been.
Stevie was overseas.
Yep.
The second thing, he's still better than anyone on Richmond's list.
Well, he might be, and that's why I want him to start as the sub. That's why I want him as a sub, Brad. Last week, they started him against North Melbourne as the sub. He comes on, kicks two goals, has about 9 or 10 possessions. If Stevie J wasn't in Geelong's best 21 last week, well, then I'm a monkey's uncle.
Well, and you're presuming that he was 100% fit. You're presuming that he was.
Well,
I'm not so sure.
I don't think Chris Scott plays injured players, Greg.
I'll turn it up, Kevin.
They don't play injured players.
Come on.
Dennis is in Oakley. G'day, Dennis.
Morning. How are you both?
Good,
Dennis.
Do you want to talk about Mick?
I do. He's been our most successful coach since Fonz Kine. I think he was better than Lee Matthews. And his record is superb. He had two rebuilds at Collingwood, as you know. Eventually got us a flag, although that almost fluked it to actually win it. But he had the Collingwood team playing as well as I can remember any Collingwood team ever playing in all the years I've ever watched them. That's between 10 and 11. It's the only other team to come close to that would have been the team you played against, Kev, would have been the 1970 team, that ill-fated team that Collingwood had. But overall, I think his record is outstanding. I'm just really disappointed as a Collingwood supporter the way it ended, in the sense of that he almost threw a 12-month tantrum at the end when he knew he was leaving Collingwood. I'm not sure that cost us the 11th flag. It did sour a lot of feelings at the club and the supporter group. But, look, it's a pass. He was terrific for us, and you can only wish him the best.
Yeah, so time heals, you're saying, Dennis.
Of course it does.
Yep.
An interesting point that Dennis made, though, thanks, Dennis, was that that's the best he's ever seen Collingwood play. In that 2010 season and the start of 2011 when I think they may have won the first 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 games, whatever it was, because I know I was suggesting they were playing so well that they could go through the season undefeated and even do better than what the Bombers did that year in 2000. But they played fantastic football, and it just makes me think, just on the back of that, to other footy fans, when's the best your side's ever played? Because Dennis believes 2010, when Collingwood were playing exhilarating football and attacking football, I remember in some games, Greg, they were kicking 7 and 8 goals in a quarter. And I think there was one game against one club, Pies fans would tell me, I reckon they kicked 8 goals in the last quarter, you know, probably the last 15 minutes. And
Etihad Stadium.
It was amazing football they were playing at that stage.
I'm thinking Western Bulldogs. I'm not quite... That's what I... They were gone for all money. I thought it was the Bulldogs, but yeah, someone will tell us.
Anyway, that's the sort of football Collingwood was playing. So... Yeah. In the back of Dennis's mind, when he thinks of his side, Collingwood, he thinks that's the best we've ever played was in 2010. Like other fans that tell me, when do they think is the best their side has ever played as well? 942-9-11-16-04-33-98-11-16. Now, coming off the SMS machine, I'm told by some, it was 11 goals against Adelaide. Mm-hmm. And that was the day or night that Andrew Cracker took Mark of the Year.
Okay.
Okay, and by the way, Hulk Hogan is in the studio for Footy Fix tonight. So you can catch the best call of Carlton Collingwood on 11:16 SEN from 7. You got right after the coach's box with Geelong coach Chris Scott from 6 p.m. And you got Hutto, Derm, Rowan and Moons. But Hulk Hogan in the studio tonight with Dr. Turf and, of course, Matty G and the Ox. So that'll be fantastic. Quick break. We'll come back and we'll take more of your calls, 9429-1116. And Greg, of course, if you want to catch up with Greg over the weekend or tonight, just go down to the Spread Eagle Hotel. That's where he lives, room 222. The big news is that the food is so popular upstairs. It's open for dinner with private dining rooms also available. Also, they've got the open fireplaces there on all the footy on their 4 big screens. So check in and... Greg Denham's Hospitality down there at Richmond. Contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286 8. 23:10. Also coming up, Friday Sports Chat with DC and Barmy. So we'll find out from Neil Barm just how strong Collingwood is chasing Adam Treloar. 5-year deal at $750,000 a year. According to Damien Barrett last night on the Footy Show, says Collingwood will deny it. So we'll have Barmy on very, very shortly. Jason Richardson off to the races with value. Lots to talk about with Richo too. Nick Maxwell, Friday Football Focus, and Dave Loudon, Sport in the Media. Taking your calls along with Greg Venom Denham. Craig's on the road. G'day, Craig.
G'day, Kev. Couldn't agree with you more about the love for CBJ. It hasn't been there for the last few years, and Chris Scott's just about lost me. I mean, we've got a couple of guys running around the seniors at the moment that aren't up to AFL standard in Josh Caddy and George Hall and Smith, and how they're not in the green vest and Stevie J is absolutely beyond me.
Well, I hope Stevie J wears the green vest again against the Tigers, because he's been a gun player for the Cats. But there hasn't been any love. And over the last couple of years, he's played, you know, so many outstanding games that if you have a look at the Brownlow medal count, I know he's been ineligible, hasn't he, Craig, I think for the last 2 years, but he's been one of the highest polers every year in the Brownlow medal. Can't finish top 10. I reckon he finished 13th last year in Geelong's best and fairest. So he was pretty good when he came off the bench last week, Craig.
No, he should be on there full time.
Full time. Okay, no love for Stevie J.
You're going to hate me for this,
too. Who needs more love at your club? 9429-1116, 0433-98-1116.
I think Geelong tonight is really, really, really hard hit. You know, no Clark, few others aren't playing. Too many outs.
You mean tomorrow?
Tomorrow, sorry.
MCG tomorrow, yeah.
I'm going to tip the Tigers.
Oh, you're going to tip the Tigers, eh?
I'm going to
after you've lambasted me for 18 months because I've told you Geelong's in decline, and you have laughed at me, and now, because you couldn't see what I could see 18 months ago, you're now jumping on the bandwagon, and you're tipping Richmond.
A man can't have an opinion week by week. Geelong aren't on the decline.
You're a bandwagon jumper.
I think they might lose tonight just because of a lack of key personnel.
Is Geelong in decline, Greg?
Not really. No, they're just having a little bit of a rebuild while they get those blokes back from injury. I read them out yesterday, all the Geelong's injuries. And
who are they?
Me. Oh, do I have to go back? You won't.
No, but you mentioned players to me, Greg. You won't accept
Vardy and Menzel.
Unfortunately,
when they start playing good footy,
you'll
have to sit up and take notice.
Poor Menzel hasn't played for 3 years. We wish the boy well, but I don't know whether you can factor him in actually as, you know, going to be the saviour of Geelong. And the same with Vardy. He's only played a handful of games, surely, over the last couple of years, Greg. So, unfortunately for those boys, they've got to have a question mark whether or not they can even continue their careers.
Look, that was the icing on the cake for later. But, you know, just Bartel, Stokes, Mackie, those sort of guys, they're really needed. And I think Geelong, Richmond can cause an upset tomorrow.
People do get old, Greg. Bill is from St. Albans. G'day, Bill.
Hi, fellas.
G'day, Billy.
Greg, you were talking about Collingwood kicking goals against the Bulldogs. You might be referring to the game where Collingwood kicked in the second quarter. They kicked 10 goals straight. After halftime, they came out and kicked the first two. So it was 12 goals they kicked against the Bulldogs straight. And I think years later, I think Carlton done something like it. So if you can get your people who check up all the records, I think you'll find that that's what happened.
Yeah, no, it was the game that that Kevin pointed out against Adelaide at Etihad Stadium that was the absolute unbelievable last quarter when Kevin was talking about the fast football that they were playing at the time.
No,
that,
but
that was the game.
Again, you've got plenty of supporters out there, Bill, who can remember this game, and thanks for sending through this information. Collingwood kicked 11 goals in the third quarter versus the Bulldogs in the 2010 qualifying final. Wow. I mean, that's what Dennis was saying under Mick Malthouse, played the best football he's ever seen by a Collingwood side. And that's why I've asked the fans to tell us what's the best football ever played by your club, 9429 1116.
That's why Mick was such a good coach, because he would adapt to who he had around him. I mean, he could have gone defensive as he liked it and had 8-9 goal games. 10 goals wins you the game. And yet, when he had such talent at his, you know, in his hands at Collingwood, he just attacked ferociously.
Brad says he thinks his Hawks couldn't play any better than last year's grand final. They were awesome. The best I've seen is North Melbourne was a single quarter against Sydney in Sydney in Glenn Archer's 250th game, down 41 points at three-quarter time. Corey Jones from the boundary on the siren to win the game. North, the second half of 1998, won 14 in a row leading to the granny, then poor kicking cost them the flag. 23 down against the Crows, kicked 11 in a row to win by 48 points to Pies. 95, Carlton beat all, then lost to the two bottom teams. Good end-of-year trip to Majorca, I think they call it. Geelong versus Richmond, you know what year? 145-point win. Did Geelong beat the Tigers by 145 points?
Oh.
Was that at Etihad? Trout joins us in Woodend. He'd remember this. G'day, Trout.
No, KB,
when did Geelong beat us by 145 points? When was that?
About 7 years ago at Docklands, but the doctor told me I have to 7 sessions to sort of black it out. But happy 50th today, KB, on your first game, you know, 50th anniversary.
Thank you.
Now, KB,
a long time ago.
Yeah, you had a comedian on yesterday with Greg, Bubbling Silly Billy from Hughesdale, a Bulldog fan, part-time fan member. He was saying that crime goes up when Richmond wins and we get broken knuckles. Well, he would have been safe for those 3 years, KB, because he gave up, he quit, and he walked away from his dirty dogs.
Okay, a bit of a heartburn between Billy and Trout taking place across the airwaves as well. Round 6, 2007, it was at Etihad Stadium. It was the first win in their unbelievable run. Geelong 35-12, 222 defeated Richmond 9-11-67. I'd call that just a minor hiccup. Rob is in Werribee. G'day, Rob.
Hi, Kevin, Greg.
G'day, mate.
I was just going to ask about, Greg, if the Spread Eagle is going to put the Mayweather fight on.
Well, they have most things on. I'd say it'd be definitely on, but we'll find out a little bit later on.
Got
but
the four big screens down there, Greg. Surely they've got the Mayweather fight
what
on.
What time is it? Is that 11 a.m. in the morning?
I think the main fight on, they're thinking around about 1:30, 2 o'clock, aren't they, Rob?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Yeah, but I think they start at 11.
Give them a hoy. I'd almost say it would be, because there'd be more interest in that probably over there in Tigerland than the Melbourne Fremantle game.
94286895. 94286895 is the number of the Spready. I know the Spready can send through an SMS and they can tell us about. Got four big screens, so you'll be able to watch all the fights, no matter where you're sitting at the Spready. Also coming off the message bank, just mentioning the Bombers versus North Melbourne 2000 qualifying final as the best four quarter performance ever by the Bombers. 31-12, 198, defeated North Melbourne 11-7-73. So great memories there if you're an Essendon supporter. We'll take a break. We'll come back, take more of your calls along with Greg Venom Denham, and we'll go through your selections as
this
well.
This is a little bit spooky, Greg. Glenn in Highton tells us that win by Geelong over Richmond, 145 points, came after a home loss at Cadinia Park to North Melbourne by 16 points, which is the same as last week. So they lost by 16 points.
Mm.
Then they're playing the Tigers the following week. So I think that is pretty spooky. And I'm also told by James in Werribee that in that game in 2007 when Richmond played Geelong, it was Tomahawk's first game for the Cats. Mm. Muzza joins us in Mernda. G'day, Muzza.
Hello, KB. Greg, how's it going, mate?
Good, mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, I'm a Collingwood Legends member. Look, all these Carlton supporters, they won a game last week, and they think they don't after they won last week, they don't need to rebuild. Listen, mate, we've got a better young talent list than Carlton have, and we're not thinking about short term. We're thinking about 5 to 10 years, mate. And they're coming out and saying they're going to smash us. Listen, I'm not cocky. Anything can happen. I hope we win. But to Mick Mouldhouse, he's been sensational at Collingwood. He won us a flag. And just, you know, well done to him. 715 games, that's a bloody good effort.
Oh, it's a fantastic effort. And I think that most Collingwood supporters would echo your thoughts, Muzza, because other SMSs are saying they've only won 4 flags in over 70 years for the Pies. That's from Ferg. 4 flags in 70 years, 2 in the last 57. Mick Mouldhouse delivered one of those flags for Collingwood fans. So you would think you'd be forever in debt to Mick and his coaching. Paul joins us in Hastings. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Kev.
Good. You got one of the great moments for Melbourne?
Yeah. May the 5th, 2008, they came back from 52 points down at half time against Fremantle and ended up winning by a few points.
Austin Watamiri, I can remember him running down, screaming down the field. That was a magical moment, that game, that the last bit. That was fantastic.
Okay.
For the D's. I do remember that.
The only thing, was that the game, Paul, where Austin Wanamiri's father was at the game and there was Jimmy Steins and they embraced
may well have been.
In the race? Because did he kick the winning goal, did he?
No, but he was very, very instrumental in the win. That just springs to mind from that game, that particular game. It was a long overdue win for Melbourne too, and they did well.
Collingwood fans have sent this through just to get the record straight. Since 1950 to 2014, Collingwood have won 4 flags, 53, 58, 90 and 2010, but have been runners-up in 52, 55, 56, 60, 64, 66, 70, 77, that was a drawn grand final, then lost, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, and 2011. How many flags could have they won there, Greg? How many times? How many is there? That's amazing.
There's a fair few, all right.
That's an amazing, amazing run for your money, isn't it? To, you know, be involved so many times over that period of time. So overall, 15 premierships over that period, time. 2 draws Collingwood's had in grand finals.
25 runner-ups.
And 25 losses. Okay, that's why you're back for Collingwood. Greg, what about Richmond versus Geelong? I'm tipping the Mighty Tigers, I think. Poor old Geelong. Just about gone, aren't they?
No, they're not gone, Kevin. Support? No, just get off the subject. Okay. I think that, no, as I said yesterday, the 2 days extra break. Geelong got another 6 day break before they play the Pies next week, which isn't going to help again. So they're in for a bit of a lean trot early until those blokes come back. But no, I think the Tigers can cause an upset. If they've got any ticker whatsoever, they'll win this game.
Carl is from Geelong, wants to talk about maybe the Tigers and the Cats. G'day, Carl.
Hello, boys.
G'day, Kev, mate.
Greg, I want to talk about, I was only a kid at Melbourne show. I got my mum to take me in to watch the grand final, 1980. Oh, I would have been about 10 years old if that. The best football I've probably seen, and I'm a Collingwood supporter, so it come from another side, was when that little mud flap turned it on in 1980. 6-7 goals in the game. He absolutely destroyed us. I was crying my eyes out. My mum took me home and I had my Collingwood colours on. But yeah. And just another thing, guys, just while you touched on Mouldhouse and that, Collingwood... they've had two real legends coach them to the last 2 grand finals and all that time. They are probably one of the two most biggest figures in football, Lee Matthews and Mouldhouse. Is Buckley going to fit into that mould in the future, you reckon?
I would think so, yes. I think that he's got the stature to grow in to old age and fill the shoes of Lee Matthews and Mick Mouldhouse combined. Yeah, I do.
Just coming off the SMSs, no, don't count 82, 83. It was 2002 and 2003.
We knew that.
And 3 when...
Brisbane.
Yeah, with those games. Yeah, that's right. So
little slip of the tongue, Kev.
No, that's just come off the SMSs. It's just been cleared up.
Yeah, well, no.
Coming off the message bank.
nothing to do with me, Greg.
Well, you said it. You're in decline.
When we come back, Greg's going to give his tips for round five.
You can continue any conversation with Greg Venom Denham down at the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond, and go down there, watch the four big screens, enjoy the football. I'm certain you can enjoy the big fight down there as well. 94286895, that's where Greg lives, and that's his home phone number. Sydney versus Western Bulldogs, Greg?
The wet, Kevin, will really help Sydney, I think, and I'll stick with the Swans.
Broadcasting this game, looking forward to it after seeing the Dogs last week, but it'd be nice if the conditions would be a lot better than what's been predicted. I'm tipping Sydney to win that at home. Gold Coast against Brisbane, toss the coin.
I'm going to go Brisbane for no other reason than the Gold Coast have been most disappointing this year. And what does it say, Kev, when Aisha's out, the team, Leuenberger's named as an emergency, and they'll be snapped up at the end of the year by other players.
Leuenberger will be chased by a lot of clubs.
No doubt.
I'm going for Gold Coast to beat Brisbane. North Melbourne against Hawthorn. Again, it's a toss of the coin, but I'm going for the Hawks yourself.
Hawthorn, look, please, North Melbourne people, just rally behind your club. You've had two home games this year. You haven't drawn more than 23,000 at Etihad. This is an absolute ripper. Turn up, please.
So that's tomorrow night at Etihad Stadium. So Greg is saying turn up if you're a fan. West Coast against the Giants. I'm going to go for the Giants to continue their great form this year. Good to see Hoskin Elliott back into the side. He's a tremendous young talent as well. I think they can upset West Coast.
Well, you'll be wrong again, Kevin. West Coast will win that.
Melbourne's playing Fremantle. Melbourne so good last week against the Tigers, but Fremantle still undefeated. Hard to beat.
They'll win. Yep.
Dockers.
Yep.
I'm going for Essendon to beat St Kilda. No Revolt, no Montagna.
Yep, same.
And toss of the coin, Adelaide versus Port, but I'm going for Port. Their performance last week in beating Hawthorn in that first half was extraordinary.
To be there, Kevin, was unbelievable. It was probably the best first quarter of footy I've nearly ever seen. What a match. It just had everything. I was truly just wrapped. And what a venue Adelaide Oval is. I'm going for Port Adelaide.
You out on the ground before the game, Greg?
Was I ever. We were in the race, down the rooms. Race. Oh, we were everywhere, Kevin. It was just to see the ground, to be there, to witness it, and then to turn on, for those two clubs to turn on such a game as they did. It was probably one of the best 24 hours I've ever spent at the footy.
Did you hear the coach speak before the game, or were you in the inner sanctum, or were you just outside the door?
We were in the inner sanctum.
Inner sanctum.
Kevin. Yeah, we did. Kenny Hinckley's went out of his way to show us around, and as did a number of Port people. Koshy wasn't there. He was in Gallipoli, of course, for his TV commitments. But it was truly, it is now. I mean, if anyone actually gets a chance and they're in Adelaide, go to the footy. It's worth a look, Adelaide Oval.
Lenny says, who do you think will win the fight, KB? I'm hoping that Manny Pacquiao wins the fight. I'm not a great fan of Floyd Mayweather. He's had a few altercations with his wife and a few family violences over the years, so I'm going for the good guy. I'm barracking for Manny Pacquiao.
We should always barrack for good over evil, Kev, and speaking of good over evil, I'll see you next week.
Catch you, Greg. Coming up, Friday's Porch Chat with DC and Barmy. Barmy will tell us whether Adam Treloar is going to Collingwood 5 years, $750,000. Richo off to the races with value.